I don't know about you, but I had a pretty tough week last week. Do you ever have weeks like that where it just seems like it's just darkness creeping in? Just like I don't like the dark. You know, I like to sleep in it because then I'm away, I'm gone, and I don't even actually pay attention to the dark. When we lived in the Yukon, there was 3 months of daylight. Like literally, it was June, July, and August. It was just crazy. 2 o'clock in the morning, it could be like this. Now, it takes a lot of your energy away, but I just so enjoyed the light. And I even don't like it right now that the days are getting shorter. I like them when they get longer, and then we're heading for that real short day coming up in December. I know, it'll get here pretty quick. It just seems like the time is going so far, so fast. I like the light. And we are in the light. And so we need to understand that when the darkness creeps in, it's to take away our focus. You don't focus very well, right? When it's dark. I mean, you can have night vision glasses, which are kind of cool. But it's still dark. And so you don't really get a good picture. You kind of get this kind of grainy looking gray or green color picture from these night vision glasses. Remember when I was a kid, and I still have this fear. When I was a kid, I broke into this place with a policeman's son. Him and I used to run together all the time. And so it's actually better if you're a kid to be with the policeman's son because you never get near the punishment you should, because he doesn't want to see his kid get punished in his name in the newspaper either. So we hung out together and we did a lot of bad things that God has forgiven me for. And that probably took him a little bit extra time, even more time than when he's doing your forgiveness things. But so we broke into this old building in Princeton, and it was in the old days when it was an old bank building. And you would go down, but remember they didn't have headers? You know what headers are? So they just cut a hole in the floor and they put steps down. So when you went down, you had to go like this, because otherwise you'd bang your nose on that because it wasn't properly done. They didn't have building codes in those days, I guess. So I was a little kid, and we were both in this, and somebody yelled at us while we're in this building, and I didn't pay attention. And I ran down, and I hit my nose. And then I went down into this dark basement, because we knew the way out, so I was going to get out of this dark basement, but I'm holding my nose like this, because it's bleeding all over the place. And we're running. Well, we're running, and the police are right there outside anyway, so we just ran into them. But it was so scary going through that dark place that to this day, if I am out in that field over there where there's not a tree, when it was totally level and it was pitch black, I would hold my hand over my nose because it broke my nose, and I don't want to break my nose anymore. And so the dark is not a place that I feel that comfortable in. And since I've been a Christian, the spiritual darkness is even worse. I don't know whether you've experienced some of that or not, or you maybe know somebody, but when somebody is completely enveloped in the darkness, there is just a desire to get out into the light. There's something that when the light shines in the darkness, it breaks people free. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says this, "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness of the day, or are not in darkness for the day to overtake you like a thief would. For you are all sons of the light and sons of the day." We're not of the night, we're not of the darkness. You are not in darkness. This world, I watch TV, and maybe I shouldn't, and I try, you know, sometimes my kids really think it's funny. We say, well, we're just getting rid of the cable because it's just so garbagey. We don't want anything. So we cut the cable off, and then 3 months later, they'll come over and they say, oh, you got cable. Yeah, we put it on back about 2 months ago because we're addicted to this. But there is so much darkness that comes into your living room, and some of the stuff, like some of the movies and some of the TV, that is so, it's spiritually dark. It's not just dark, it's spiritually dark. And it should make you sick. But sometimes what it does is it kind of desensitizes ourselves to these things. It says in Ephesians 5 as well, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light." You should be a beacon. You should be a light on a hillside. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to kind of be shiny and polished and you know, and always speak King James and you know, never do anything wrong. I mean, that's not possible for any of us. We're working towards that, but we still can sin. But we don't have to anymore. Did you know that? Because we're not a slave to sin anymore. We have a new master, and it's Jesus. 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 2 in verse 9, it says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." You were chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Do you feel like that? I like the name King James, of course, King Jimmy. We're not the kings, but we're the king's kids. Do you know that? Do you know that you have royal blood flowing through your veins? Holy, royal blood? And that you are a holy nation? You might not feel that holy, and in the world that we live in, it's pretty unholy sometimes. But everywhere you put your foot, it says in Scripture, is what? Holy ground. You put your feet wherever you go. You can go into the darkest place in the world, and you put your foot there, and guess what? It's holy. When you go to a different country and you go and take a tour through a temple, you are putting the holy footprint of God in that temple. That temple has power. There's no doubt about it. There's gods there. But they are not anywhere near as strong and as powerful as our God, who is the God above all gods. We need to understand that. In 1 John 1, it says this, "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all." No darkness. Can you wait to get to heaven? No darkness, no night, no solar, no powers outages, no brownouts, no blackouts, no darkness, no... When you live in the Yukon, you got 10 months of winter, which is dark, and then you got 2 months of bad sledding, is what they say. Because it's just a different world. But you go to the equator, and it's 12 and 12. 12 light, 12 dark. We are always in the light. We're always in the light. But sometimes we forget that. In the Psalms, it says this, you save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I get to advance against a troop and scale a wall. Or I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's the kind of energy. It's really been proven that if you don't have energy from the sun, you get kind of logy. And actually, it's called sad. In the Yukon and then up north, and even actually sometimes here, there's not enough vitamins from the sun into your system, so you get depressed. So you buy a sad lamp, and it perks you up. But you know what? We have the light inside of us who gives us that strength, that energy. And so you can not only run in like David did when he took on the Philistines, you can run up to Goliath or whoever's your big monster in your life, the big giant. You can run in there, and then you can leap over a wall. I can't leap over too many walls. I see that tough mudder. My daughter goes in that, and they go up these big walls, and I'm not. Has anybody been in a tough mudder here? We all know that it's probably a big challenge to go over that wall. I want to try it one time, but I'll probably need help. So this would be the way I'd interpret this. When you're with all your help, I can advance through a troop, and you can help me get over the wall. That's how I'd interpret this. But we can do it with God's strength because we're energized inside with the light. John 12:46 says, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. People need to know that they're in the light, that God has the light shining on them and shining through them. And Ephesians says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, against the powers of this dark world. There is a power here. It's Satan's power. And he's not crippled. He's not impotent. I remember years ago, you just take a broom and sweep the devil out of your life because you have that kind of power. Well, yeah, you do. But don't have that kind of attitude, because if you have the attitude that, well, I'll just take a broom and sweep Satan out, well, Satan will take the broom and break it over the back of your neck. He has power. You don't do well with arrogance. You do lots with confidence. You have to know that you are in the light and he's the darkness. And wherever the light is, there's more power in the light. There's no way that the darkness can outpower the light, but there's every way that light can outpower darkness. And we have to understand that. We have to live that. We have to believe that. This is the whole idea of this series. It's not just that you know it, but that you live what you believe. In 1 Samuel 17, it says, all those who are gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. That's what David said to Goliath. It's not by sword or spirit. It's by him. He takes us. He is the one who leads us into battle. So there's an interesting story, and it's found in Judges chapter 7. And it's probably a familiar story to you. It's about Gideon, and many times it's taught about leadership. But while I was reading it just a while ago, I just had this kind of insight into something that I'd never seen before. And I kind of want to share this with you. So let's look just at the start, just before. It's kind of like part of verse 8, and then we'll go on. It says, for the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley, below Gideon. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, during that night. Now they're going to go to battle. And God either woke him up or spoke to him while he was awake that night. In the dark, God spoke to him. Has God ever spoken to you in the dark? It could be the physical dark of the night, or it could be the spiritual darkness of your situation. But let me promise you something. God will speak to you. God will speak to you. And it'll be just as clear as anything that you've ever heard before. Whether it comes into your heart, have you ever had that where God just kind of impresses on your heart something? There's no actual verbal words. How about when he does actually speak to you? I mean, he can speak to you aside from somebody using their voice to do it. I've heard his audible voice a few times. And sometimes he speaks through another brother or sister, or a sermon or a song or something like that, but he will speak to you in your darkness. And then he said, get up. Go down against the camp because I'm going to give it into your hands. Now, you got to know the story. Before that, he had like 10,000 troops. God says, that's too many. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell all those who are afraid to go home. I think I'd be one of them. I'd like to just hear about the battle. I don't want to be in it. Just so I'm going to go home. So a whole mash of them went home. And then he said, well, those ones that are left, that's quite a few. So we can't use all of them. The Midianite army is still the same size. It's huge. And so God says, okay, I want you to take everybody down by the lake or by the river, and I want you to watch how they drink. And so some of the guys got down and drank out with their face kind of to the water, and other guys got down, about 300 of them, and they kind of knelt down and they just lapped the water like this. You see, they were alert. They were ready. They were looking around. The other ones had their face in there. Somebody could have come, stepped on the back of their head and drowned them. So God says, okay, now there's 300. Pick them and send the other ones home. Now you're the leader, okay? You're Gideon. You got this whole army down there, and you know that these Midianites are pretty tough fighters. They're ruthless. And you now have 300 people to go down, 300 that were picked by God. But I'm going to give them into your hands. You have to have the trust in God that when he says what he says in your darkness, he is going to make it happen, whether you can figure it out or whether you trust in the way he's doing it or not. You just have to trust him when he speaks into your life. He's done this before, or not before, but he did it after. And here's Peter in jail. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7, it says, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Isn't that great? Those cells in those days were pretty dark, pretty black. And the angel of the Lord appeared and shone a light in there. Can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine how wide your eyes would be open if you were in pitch black for maybe 6 or 8 or 10 hours? And then all of a sudden, whoosh! This whole place lit up, brighter than you've ever seen it through the daytime. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Again, it was in Peter's dark. It was in Peter's night. And he said, quick, get up. And the chains fell off of Peter's wrists. Then the doors opened, and it was awesome. They headed out. And then the Philippian jailer goes, oh, no, no, this is really bad. This is not very good. And the light came into the jail. The light will come into whatever has you bound. Where's your jail? What's your jail? Is it an addiction? Is it a fear? What is your addiction? What is your fear? What is your jail cell that you have been imprisoned in? He wants to come in and light it up. He wants to come in and light it up. Let's get back to Judges. Verse 10, it says, if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah. If you're afraid to attack. Now, if I was afraid to attack, I wouldn't want to go down with my buddy to the enemy's camp and listen to what they're saying. Now, it's black, it's dark, so it's kind of good. You can stealth around in there. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. He didn't say what he was going to hear. He didn't say what was going to happen. He just said, find your way down to the enemy's camp with your buddy. Leave the other 298 there. I don't know as a leader that that's the kind of thing I want to hear. But they went down to the outpost of the camp. In Mark chapter 9, verses 23 to 24, it says, and Jesus said, if you can do anything, remember it was the father whose son was demon-possessed and threw himself into the fire. They just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And he says, if you can do anything, why, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. That is for us today. All things are possible for you if you believe. Do you know that? You actually need to apply that. You need to live that. And this is the story in the book of Mark. It says, at once the father of the boy gave, this is the father of the boy, not the boy who is demon-possessed, but an eager, piercing, inarticulate cry with tears. He was wrenching from the depths of his soul. He was wrenching from deep down where he really needed to know. And he said to the Lord, he said, Jesus, I believe, but constantly help me with my weakness of faith. Ever feel like that in the darkness? When you can't see and when you don't know, that's the stuff I struggle with. I wish I could walk in more confidence that God, even though he's told me and shown me, that I could just say, oh yeah, it's gonna happen. But then I see all the circumstances that come around and I kind of get pounded down. Even though I have seen God do miraculous things. And sometimes this is my prayer, I can believe. But oh, help me. Help me to believe. Help me with a consistency of faith instead of this wavering. So Gideon and his buddy arrived just, and now can you imagine, they went right down to where they're going to fight. It's dark. The people don't know they're there. And he goes right there, and this is what he hears. He just arrives as the man is telling a friend his dream. I had a dream, he said. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling through the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent collapsed, or turned over and collapsed. So this guy's telling his story. Isn't that funny? There's a Midian, there's thousands of people in the Midianite army in this big camp, and God, through the darkness, just showed where Gideon and his buddy should be to hear this. They didn't get on the wrong side. They didn't get over by a fast-rushing creek. They didn't get somewhere where they wouldn't be able to hear. It was clear that this is the guy that had the dream. And they were just in there because God said, go down there and hear. Sometimes we need to get down and hear. And sometimes you need to get right into the enemy's camp without telling them that you're there, but you need to get that close that you can hear what God is saying in their lives. In Luke chapter 8, it says this, in verse 17, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. He'll speak to you. He'll speak contrary to what you see. He'll speak contrary to what the devil said. He'll speak words of life. He will not speak words of death. He will overcome the darkness with the light. So in Judges chapter 7, it goes on like this. His friend responded, the guy had the dream and he's telling his buddy in the Midianite camp, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the whole Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. Could you imagine sitting there in the darkness hearing what God had told them in a dream? Would that build your strength and get you pumped if you're the leader? 1 Samuel 17:47 says this, all who are gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. He is the one, it's his battle. The Lord saves. It's not any of us. It doesn't matter how much strength we have, how many skills we have. It is God who intervenes in our dark battles. It's God who gets the victory. So in the story with Gideon, it says, when Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, he bowed down and worshiped God. He didn't even go home to do that. He didn't go back to his camp. He just bowed down right there and worshiped God. Right this far from the dark enemy, he just worshiped God and called, and he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands. I love it. But in Psalm 52:9, it says, "For what you have done, I will always praise your name in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good." You need to praise him. They hadn't won the battle yet, but he praised him. He hadn't won the battle yet, but he went back and he said to all of them, "Look, we're going to win." He had one witness with him. But he just had that inside. He knew that God had said it, and if God says it, and I believe it, that settles it. You heard that before? Well, somebody said whether God said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. But it actually doesn't even have to be that way. God said it, and it's settled, whether you believe it or not. But if you believe it, you start walking in this power. You start walking in this light. So remember, he had 300 troops. And in verse 16, it says, dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. I bet you if I was one of those guys that was kneeling down, lapping the water, I wished I would have drank from the pond. Because now you're in the dark, now you're going down into the battle, and what do you have? It doesn't say they have any swords. They still might have their swords with them, but their hands are full. They're full of a trumpet, and they're full of a, I don't know what this lamp looked like, but there's a torch inside it. So it's still dark. So he split them up, it says here, into three companies so that they were all around the Midianite camp. I love that kind of a story. I love it because I'm not in it. I think that would have been crazy. Well, 100 of you go this way, 100 of you go that way. And nobody, well, it's not recorded here, said, "Ooh, we don't have any weapons. It's dark. It's dark, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to blow a trumpet. That's going to tell them where we are. All right? It's dark. It's going to... So if you got a bow and arrow, you just shoot towards the sound. We have hunters that do that. You know, Vancouver hunters, we used to call them that when we lived in the interior. I don't say that anymore now. Scratch that from the record. We have people that sound shoot. They do, still hunting, they sound shoot. Oh, I heard something over there. Boom, 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 boom. Well, these guys were going to blow a trumpet. And then, as we go on here, they're gonna break open the lamp for the guys that are deaf in the Midianite camp, I guess. Because if you can't hear them, now we can see them. Would you want to be in that team? I don't think I would want to be the leader of that team. And I sure wouldn't want to be in that team because now they can see and hear us and we don't have anything to fight with. But in Zechariah, it says this. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Not by might, not by power, not by anything we can do, but by my spirit. It's the Spirit of God that breaks through the darkness in your life. It's the Spirit of God that lights the fire and lights the flame. Judges chapter 7. He's the leader again. Here's Gideon. He says, "Watch me. It's dark." Right? Watch me. In other words, first you're going to hear, then you're going to see. Because you'll be able to see me as soon as I break open. I don't know these lamps. I would love to see a picture of these lamps where the torch is already burning inside the lamp. And he said, "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all of you with me blow our trumpets, then from around the camp, blow and shout. Blow yours and shout for the Lord and Gideon." Okay, so now you got... You got to remember they're in total darkness. You got to remember that they were going to sound the trumpet. And then they're going to shout. I would shout, "I'm out of here." That's what I'd probably shout. "I don't want to be here." But so the trumpet sounds, and I love the sound of a trumpet, and God's going to come one day, and the trumpet's going to blow, and we're going to get caught up in the air. Isn't that great? The church is going to go home, and he's going to use a trumpet. And he used a trumpet here with Gideon, and then they were to shout. And here it is, lifting up the name of the Lord, lifting up the name of the Lord. In the darkness, right? You don't need any handfuls of weapons. When Jesus was surrounded and Judas came and kissed him on the cheek, that's an intimate thing. He kissed him and identified him. I mean, everybody knew who Jesus was anyway in the Garden of Gethsemane. He kissed him, and then there was just a grabbing of the sword for Peter. Chopped the ear off of a guy. We're going to fight this through. Jesus said, no. No, no, the battle is mine. And so the last thing that Jesus did before he was horribly brutalized and then crucified was he put the ear back on. You want to believe that that servant who got his ear cut off listened really close from that point on? Do you want to believe it? And I don't know. I don't know the story of his life, but I suspect the power of that would have changed his heart, and he'll probably be there in glory waiting for us. Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp, and at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed guard, good timing, they blew their trumpets and they broke their jars that were in their hands. Can you see it? Do you see the picture? I see pictures. I see this black place, and then you can hear in the dark the sound of a trumpet, and then you can hear to God and to Gideon, and then boom, lights. And the Midianites thought they were surrounded by a major army. Sound and light in your darkness. Sound and light. Listen to what God's talking to you about and watch for him bringing in the light. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hand and holding in their right hands the trumpets. They got nothing to protect themselves with. Nothing. Both their hands are full. There at a blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Ephesians 6 says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what we're talking about this morning. This is why I'm sharing this story with you, because it's the Word of God. It's alive. It hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Word is as applicable to our lives today as it has ever been in history. We are in this kind of fight with the Midianites or the enemy, whatever it is. We are there. We're on the edge. We need to break. We need to blow the trumpet, and we need to shout praises to God, and we need to believe that when we break open, the light's going to come in. And it says here, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their own swords. Not by might, not by power, not by strategies, not by experience, not by power of mankind, not by weaponry, but by my Spirit. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you don't, you need to walk out of here with him there. You need to walk out of the darkness that you are in. You need to walk out of this separation from God with the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 14:14 says this, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. I have a hard time being still. As you know, I wander. I walk around the pulpit. I walk around the platform. One church I went to, I had an interview, and they said, well, the first thing is we don't like a guy that cracks jokes. We don't like a guy that wanders around. We want him to stand behind the pulpit. We want him to wear a suit and a tie. And so this is my interview, and I says, well, this isn't going to work. Because I do all three of those things, and I enjoy it. I don't wear a tie. I could. I have. I won't when I die, unless somebody puts me one on me. Elaine said, there's a pair of blue pants I hate. I just hate them. She says, when you die, I'm going to put them on you. And I says, when you come to the funeral, you look, I'll have kicked them off. Or if they cremate me, then that's good, and then nobody else will have to wear those pants. Anyways, those are just little things. It's hard to be still. It's hard to be still when you're standing in front of the enemy. When you're in darkness, it's hard to be still. But let me tell you something right now. The light is inside of you. The weaponry is his. All you have to do is shout, play the trumpet, and wait for the light to come, and it dispels the darkness, and the enemy will run, and they'll kill themselves in the process. You need to understand that that's the truth of the Word of God. For your situation, for your life, so that you can walk in the light as he is in the light. Would the team come back up for worship, please? Does that make any sense to you this morning? Can you walk in the light? God wants you to. It's not, you know what? It's not church. You're the church. It's not what we do in church. This is what we believe. This is what God has shown us. This is what we need to live. When you live what you believe, your life will turn right around, and so will the lives of those around you. They will turn around because you will not be afraid of the darkness, because light overpowers the darkness. The light inside of you is more powerful than the whole of the darkness in this world. The light inside of you alone. One can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000. Look at this, eh? How many can we put to flight? We can put a lot to flight. We can set small nations free with this group of people here. We need to, people. We really need to. There's a world out there that lives in darkness and doesn't know anything different. We need to go into their camps, and we need to sit on the edge, and we need to hear. We need to hear. And then we need to come back, and we need to say, God has given us an opportunity to get into their lives and shine the light. And please don't think that you got to arm wrestle them down, or you got to put a full Nelson on them, or push their face in the dirt. All you have to do, shout the name of God, play the trumpet, wait for the light just to shine in there. And the enemy is defeated. Not will be, but is defeated. We are more than overcomers. I want you to stand, please. There's some of you here that you really understand what I was talking about. You understand that there's a Midianite army down there that just wants to destroy you. They've been actually on your case for years and years and years. Whether it's in your physical being or your emotional being or even in your spiritual being that they're attacking. One thing you need to understand is that the enemy cannot take your spiritual position away from you when you are in Christ Jesus. You can give it up. I believe you can give it back, and then you can move on in the darkness of this world. But the devil cannot take away. Cannot take away your spiritual position as a son or daughter of God. He can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of power. But you do, because you have a free will. Maybe you've never made that decision for Christ before. So what I'm going to do, and I appreciate the opportunity to do this every time we gather. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's very important that you make that decision. And so as everybody's standing, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and maybe this will be the first time you prayed this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, that's great, yeah, just out loud. I love you and I thank you. I want you to come into my life. I want you to forgive my sins. I want to be in right standing with the Father. And so I pray and receive your gift of salvation, knowing that inside of me now resides the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that now I'm the light of the world, transformed, transferred from darkness into light. I receive this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. If you've said that for the first time, then please come up and talk with one of these people up here or myself after. If you rededicated your life when you said that, we want to talk to you as well. We have a bunch of material. We have Bibles and different languages, and we just want to help you on your journey to growing so that you can slip down into the darkness of the enemy's camp, and then you can hear what God's saying, and then you can say, hey, let's go. Let's take on the enemy in this area and defeat him, because God said this, and we're going to walk in it because we believe, and we're going to live what we believe.